Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Wrestle-On.
Yay!
Today we're going to be talking about the 28th episode of Doctor Who, the season 4 premiere, and that consists of 4 episodes, which aired from September 10th, 1966 to October 1st, 1966, all untitled, but I'm going to be giving them titles. I've decided I'm going to start doing that if I can come up with anything. If I can't, then I won't do it. And that's,
Those are some Joe facts!
Joe facts!
Did I say it was called The Smugglers?
I don't think you did.
No, you didn't.
You neglected to mention that specific Joe fact.
It's The Smugglers. See, the no titles thing threw me off. But today we have
the
with us...
The shows, the episodes, the serials still have titles.
Yes. It's an untitled serial, but no, it's called
it's
The Smugglers.
It's just called Serial 48.
28?
28.
Not 48. And today I'm going to get to our guest eventually.
We'll introduce you.
A returning favorite. This is her, I want to say, fourth episode? Third or fourth?
Numbers are all in the realms of Joe facts.
It's the fourth season, so I'm going to say it's the fourth episode.
Yeah. Well,
there you go.
That's sound.
It's Jez. Jez. Just Jez.
Just Jez.
Just Jez. Just Jez. Hi, everybody.
So, how have you been?
Busy, but good.
Any updates you want to give since the last time you've been on the show?
I don't know. I mean, I'm running my blog right now. If anybody is a fan of the blog, which is howtogrowthefuckup.com, I set up a map where people can mark their location, and it's mind-blowing to see how many different countries people are in and are blogging from. Like, admittedly, my geography is terrible. Like, Trivia Crack has proved that to me, but there are countries here I have never heard of. And people live there and are following my blog.
I saw that map and it is amazing.
Well, I started the map because I was getting my Google Analytics and I'm like, and every now and again I would see a country and I'm like, I didn't know anybody was following me there. So I'd give them a shout out on Twitter. I'm like, you know, I'm doing this kind of a lot. Let's see where everybody is.
I put a pin in it.
I know exactly which one is yours. So yeah, that's what's happened with that. Other than that, I've just been busy doing program stuff at work.
That and watching Doctor Who.
Yeah, watching a lot of Doctor Who in a short period of time in order to catch up for this episode.
How long did it take you to get through this episode, just out of curiosity?
I mean, I did it all in one sitting. I just powered through.
You're so brave.
I was so tired, and Joe told me that you took a nap in between. I'm like, that's such a good idea, but if I do that, I'm not finishing tonight.
I literally, if it wasn't for Joe, I would have just gone to bed. But I was like, I can't do it. I can't watch another one. I was falling asleep, and we record them so that we can, you know, share us, like, watching the episodes. We're, like, leaning on each other's shoulders, like, falling asleep, and it's like, people are watching us! We need to not be drooling on each other. This episode, if you haven't gathered by now, is really, really rough. And that can be said for a lot of the serials that don't exist.
Which, by the way, this does not exist.
It exists in clips that make no sense. Like, the clips themselves are fine, but how was it chosen that these things should survive?
They're all deaths.
They're primarily deaths. I don't know if you noticed that. But
they're
it was like...
deaths and Ben taking off his shirt.
Well, that's the answer to that question, probably. Someone's like, I gotta make sure, I gotta make sure
this.
I have this.
And like people
riding
horses.
Why. I don't care for Ben.
A lot of establishing shots exist. I meant to look up and see why, but it seemed like every sort of like stabbing, like a knife death, particularly because there's like gunshot deaths that didn't really.
Well, there's at the end of it where it's just like out and out chaos. There's not a lot of that exists, but like all of the deaths leading up to that are all existing, and it was kind of weird.
Apparently it was the least watched story in Doctor Who history for 20 years.
Wow. What a sad little medal to have.
And there's many reasons why it's bad, which we don't get into, I suppose.
You guys, it's not... I would recommend skipping it just altogether. Like, you could, and it would be fine. We were watching Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, which is not an episode that I liked. like at all. And I think I've mentioned it several times on this podcast of like, oh, dinosaurs. It was so proud of itself. But we watched it again because Joe is just getting to it for the first time. And there were so many like stuff. There's so much stuff in it that I really liked. I was like, oh, I really like that scene, actually. And that's a good line. Actually, like watching it again, I was like, it surprised me how much stuff there was that I liked in an episode that I was like, had written off as not a very good episode. And like, we've said that before, like even in an episode of Doctor Who that you don't like, there's normally like a line or something. There's nothing in this, guys. You can skip it.
I'd say there's a few things, which we'll get to. Right. But I do want to point out, I just looked this up. The reason why the footage exists, and also why some of it looks weird. Some of the existing footage has this weird, like, weird fast-paced motion to it. I don't know, it looks different. Here's why the footage that exists. Some of it was not filmed for the episode. There was an amateur filmmaker that was filming the making of the episode. That's why it's from such a distance, too. It was a location shooting, and, like, this guy just filmed it. And the other stuff, all the deaths, were edited out.
Oh.
It was censored, and they cut those bits out, but those bits were still saved somewhere.
Wait, so the existing footage that we watched wasn't in the original episode?
Well, no, it was in the original episode, but it was censored somewhere else.
So they had them,
yeah. Like, it wasn't originally censored. They probably showed it somewhere else, and they censored
it to
cut
those
bits out.
I did think it was very odd. Like, that seemed very specific, and now we know why.
So it makes sense that it's the deaths and the shirtless scene.
Yeah!
There you go. The answer is censorship.
We just Sherlocked
this.
Guess
we can thank censorship for there being existing footage in this episode.
Thank you, censorship.
Thanks.
Maybe thank you.
Maybe
you should have censored the better cereal.
You should have just left it missing.
Yes, let's get into it. Episode 1, Let's Get a Smugglin'. The official...
This is why Chris Cherry has become the official title maker of the podcast.
Well, there's plenty more where that came from, you guys. Plenty more.
There's only 4 episodes.
There's 3 more.
They land. Well, so the doctor finds Ben and Polly in the TARDIS and is like, what the hell?
Pissed off at him.
And he's like, we just wanted to give you your key back. And he's like, okay, well,
you're
that sucks
now.
To be you guys.
And then in an uncharacteristic move, the doctor's like, yeah, I don't know how to fly this thing.
He finally admits it.
Just openly admits it.
That ringed false to me. Like, I feel like he would bullshit some.
This whole opening is interesting to me because I was actually taking notes during the first episode and then it went on. I stopped.
Your eyelids got heavy. You put your head down on a pillow.
Well, I was exhausted to begin with. I should not have stayed up, but I needed to get it done. But, so it starts out, like, he's actually, like, angry, like, why are you in here? You can't come with me. I wrote down, like, he's finally realizing the repercussions of traveling with people. Like, he knows he can't get them back to their original time. He knows he's basically kidnapping them. Like, he understands this. And then, like, 30 seconds later, he's like, oh, thank God, I'm not gonna be alone. I'm like, you learned nothing. You have learned nothing whatsoever.
To be fair, he still hasn't. I'm thinking of that scene
in the God Complex.
The God Complex, where he's like, I just, you know, offer someone all of time and space, and of course they're going to say yes. Anyway, want to ride in my time machine? It might be abrupt, but it's definitely true to character.
Yeah, that's true to character. The only thing that's not is him admitting that he doesn't know how to fly the TARDIS. Admits that he's a bad driver.
And then, of course, Ben and Polly don't believe they're on a time machine and spend a great deal of time not believing they traveled in time.
Yeah, they change their mind very quickly. They're like, no, no, it's not a time machine. Time machines don't exist. And then they see, like, the cast and they're like, well, I guess we're in the 17th century.
Well, I think
Ben literally says, yeah, all right then.
Yeah.
That's because it's boring. You're kind of like, there's time travel. We know it. We don't need to see another group of people go, what? Time travel? No. None of this is happening.
Yeah.
You're like, it is. We just...
Ben seems, once he does accept that it's a time machine, he seems really pissed off that he can't go back to the Navy. Because he's like, I'm going to be late. And I'm like, dude, you're in a fucking time machine. If you can get it working properly, time is not an issue.
Ben has just one mode, really, and it's loud... just sort of disgruntledness.
He's not even, I don't even know he's really disgruntled, but he's always at 11, and it's always too much, and I don't like him.
One of my notes is everyone has zero patience with Ben, including me.
Yes! God.
It's true. There was a time, I don't even remember what happened, but like somebody said something mean to Ben, and I was just like, yeah, God damn it, Ben. Get your shit together.
All that said, I do like Polly.
I like Polly, all right.
I mean, I haven't seen enough of Polly to really be like, yeah, Polly's cool.
Yeah, I've seen as much as you have. But there was a point where I'm like, yeah, she's kind of cool. I understand why she and Dodo were friends.
What
yeah.
I don't understand is why her and Ben are friends.
Oh, I have no idea.
He's so gross, too.
He's just gross to her, yeah.
I know we're jumping ahead a bit, but there's a bit where he's like, he does that
he
at her.
He looks at her.
He's like, I don't, and he calls her love or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he calls her Duchess a lot, too, even though she has specifically asked him not to.
Oh, he's just so awful.
We don't like
awful.
Ben.
I miss
We, as a podcast,
Steven.
Are not Ben-friendly. We're sorry if he's your favorite.
Sorry.
But not that sorry. You should have better taste. But there's a castle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we should also say the TARDIS landed or materialized on a beach
right,
in front of a cave.
Which is obviously going to...
This is the second time this has been an issue. Like, there,
it's like,
there's
we landed
whole thing
by
about...
the water. Yeah. Oh, we can't go back because tide. It's just convenient, I think.
Like,
a
there was that one, and then
keeping them there.
The other one was the Time Meddler, right? Where they're on a beach and the tide is an issue.
Which also dealt with going into a church and finding someone that wasn't quite... The priest.
You're right.
Who was also hiding something in a sarcophagus, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was hiding He was hiding his TARDIS.
This is weird.
This is a shitty version of the Time Meddler.
When we were watching this too, we've talked a lot about how bad this is, but specifically the dialogue
it's
is
just
really
atrocious.
Bad. I told Joe it was like someone took a script and made a ransom note. Where it's just like they just cut out lines from other scripts and piece them together. And I said, I was like, do you think this was written like right before it was filmed? Like, oh shit, we need another episode. We'll just take the Time Meddler. We'll
apparently
use
it
that structure.
It's actually a leftover from the previous season. They should have left it.
But yeah,
completely.
we'll just take the structure from the Time Meddler, throw in some dialogue we have laying around, and that'll be that.
Every line feels like filler. I honestly can't remember a single quotable line of dialogue except.
But anyway, they see a church, and they're like, I guess we're going to go walk towards that church because...
It's the only thing here.
And that'll also, like, prove
maybe
that
we'll find a way to a bus so I can get to the Navy.
Maybe he just really loves the Navy because the reason we got him in the first place is because he was so sad that he wasn't on his ship.
He only has one love, and it is of the sea.
So he should be happy here, but he's not.
He's, like, trying to get away from the sea. You're headed in the wrong direction, Ben.
But they show up at the church, and there's... Okay, what exactly is this guy? Because it's something that it's a line that I couldn't hear. He's not a priest. He's a warden?
Yes, the church warden.
What does that mean?
He's like the caretaker.
Oh, okay.
And his name is Longfoot.
That's another thing that's terrible in this episode are names.
All of the names are so cheesy. I feel like every character is named after, like, an aspect of them. Like, it's just like, oh, that's the character that's that, so
that's their
name.
There is a character literally named Spaniard.
Yes.
Like, with a capital S, that's their name.
But yeah, we'll talk more about the names when we get to them and how awful they are.
But right now, the warden.
Longfoot.
Church warden.
I guess he has a long foot. He's very, very drunk and toting a gun.
That sounds like our neighbors.
And then they bring out their, you know, standard lie / half-truth. We're travelers.
We just walked here. And they're like, are you sure? Yeah. You sure you're gonna come from by the sea? No, we just sort of walked here. Well, all right.
Wanna get drunk? And the doctor does not drink.
Which he does later in the serial. And it bothers me.
He doesn't really, though, because he sips at it and he's just sucking up to Pike.
But everyone else, he's like, no, no, no. Don't bring that near me.
I never touch this stuff.
This is going back a little bit. But if Ben is from the Navy and all about the sea, and then you have an episode where people are on a pirate ship, you do not put Ben on that ship. Not once.
Right. You don't use that shit?
He is landlocked the entire episode.
That's why he's so upset all the time.
Like, literally, they were pirates, and I didn't get to be inside a boat. The show sucks. All I want is to be in my boat.
Anyway, yeah, so the guy's like, you guys are from the land, not the sea, because he's really worried about the sea. And then he proceeds to drop a whole lot of exposition, which, to be honest, I didn't catch half of because he mumbled so much.
Yeah, there was definitely something going on with the sound, but it was also the way they speak. I'm like, I am having the hardest time understanding anybody right now.
All of it. All of the pirates. Because, I mean, I guess they're pirates, but...
So they all, yes, they all spoke like this. It was very hard to understand.
Yeah, there, maybe it was a good episode, and I just couldn't understand it.
No, it was definitely a bad episode.
He's still kind of untrustworthy of them, I guess, and then the doctor fixes his finger.
He had a dislocated finger, and the doctor's like, let me see that for a second. He just, like, wrenches it back into place.
I hate seeing that, by the way. Like, that's always a thing on TV where, like, someone dislocates a shoulder. Mm. I hate seeing that. I don't like seeing them pop back into place. I don't know why.
Don't watch the Lethal Weapon series.
All right. I just, I hate it.
And then he's like, oh, okay, you guys are great. By the way,
here's how you find my secret treasure. Okay.
Yeah. You've known him for, like, all 5 minutes. And you still don't totally trust where they came from, but you're going to tell them your biggest secret in the world?
Well, to be fair, it's not like he's like, hey, this is where my secret treasure is. He's like, here's a riddle! All right, bye!
It's also weird, though, because, like, okay, if you don't expect to ever see them again, what's the point of telling them your riddle? Like, if they're really travelers, they're going to hear your riddle and be like, okay, that was weird, and move on with their life and never think about you again.
It doesn't make any sense. It's just a really bad script. And, like, he almost adds it like an afterthought, because they're, like, literally leaving.
Yeah, and he calls the doctor back.
They're going to an inn to stay? Which is, why?
I think it was because the tide was in and they couldn't leave until morning.
Okay. Wait, did they already know that? I guess
yes, they did. So he's like, hey, doctor, come here.
It just drives
me met a man on the way to St. Ives.
It drives me so crazy anytime in, like, a classic serial where they're like, I guess we're going to stay in this inn. And you're like, you've got your own hotel with you. But I guess, yes, this time the tide was in, and that makes sense.
That makes sense. The riddle does not. I mean, the riddle makes, well, it kind of makes sense.
It makes sense, like, much, much, much later, but it's said in a way that it's kind of like, oh, it was this year that we just saw where they had the riddles for every episode and they put them on screen.
That was a toy maker.
Yes. Celestia Toy Maker. It's like that where they give you a riddle.
And you're like, you couldn't solve that.
Yeah, you expect to be able to solve it, but you can't solve it because you don't have the information necessary.
That's not a riddle. That's a poem with an answer.
So he gives the doctor this riddle and then sends him on his way. But he is being overheard by a large bald man named Cherub because he's a large bald baby, I guess. He goes in with a knife.
He kills the old guy who lives at the church.
Which, that also doesn't make sense because, one, he didn't overhear what Longfoot told the doctor. He has no way of knowing if that was the actual secret or not.
He just assumes.
And if it wasn't, you just killed your only source.
Well, to be fair, Cherub's very stabby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He gets a high body count. That's
frightening. So
they arrive at the inn, the doctor and Ben and Polly, and the innkeeper's like, there's no room in the inn. The manger's full, too.
Also, you're I don't know you guys. You're strangers, so you're probably evil.
And then the doctor's like, I know Longfoot. He's like, oh, you know Longfoot? Sweet's right over this way. Like, people are very quick to trust people.
After being very adamant about not trusting people.
Yeah.
Like, we don't trust strangers around here. Oh, unless you know this name, then okay.
Sure, you couldn't have overheard that somewhere. You must be legit. It's not like Longfoot just tells anybody his name or the riddle.
Or where he buried his secret treasure. Very selective.
I feel like we should also mention that Polly is in disguise. A very poor disguise as a boy.
Is she even disguised, or is she just...
I think they just assume.
They're like, she's wearing pants. That's a boy.
Is that what happened in the episode, the Crusade episode, and we just didn't catch it?
It happened a little bit.
The Crusade episode, they did it on purpose, because it was unsafe for her to travel as a woman. For this one, it's like, Longfoot, like, oh, you have lads with you. These are both men. And no one corrects him. And then later they're like, yeah, we should probably keep that cover. It'd be safer.
Even though she's very clearly not a lad.
Yeah. And she has, like, the highest voice. And no one ever questions her.
She's just like, well, you talk like a dude.
You wear pants.
You have trousers. Dude. There's a whole lot that just feels, like, ripped off from other serials. That happens a lot, though. In the confrontation where Cherub is killing Longfoot, we get more exposition dump, which is that Longfoot owes Captain Pike money, gold, and then you find out that
he used to be a pirate.
He used to be a pirate under Captain Avery. Like, they all used to be pirates under Captain Avery.
Who was a real person, by the way.
Resident historian Jez!
Yes, is what I'm here for. I looked it up because there's a moment in this episode, I believe, where we see Pike and he says very clearly, if my name isn't Samuel Pike, and he says it with like so much importance that I'm like, that's gotta be a real person. So I looked him up. He is not a real person.
Wait, I also made that assumption and then just didn't look it up.
There is a religious leader from about the same time that is named Samuel Pike, but they're not the same person at all. This is just a character they made up. And I'm pretty sure they made it up because they're like, we want a Captain Hook character, but we can't use Captain Hook. What can we use?
He literally has a pike for an arm. I don't think he uses it once.
No, he does.
He does.
He definitely does. It's existing footage.
I just missed it, I guess.
Avery is a real person. He's a real pirate from that time, and he actually comes back in a new Who episode.
Oh.
Really?
Yes. Two of them.
Is it Curse of the Black Spot?
Yes, it is. I read this whole article on it earlier. The person who wrote Curse of the Black Spot chose Avery just because he was a semi-well-known pirate in real life and he didn't know the connection to Old Who. So it's there, but it's not 100% on purpose.
But hey, I'll take it.
But they definitely chose Avery for a purpose, which was that he was a semi-well-known pirate who is one of the only pirates to ever retire with his fortune intact. So basically, they're like, he has treasure. It exists somewhere.
And also, it's cursed for some reason.
What's pirate treasure?
I didn't understand that. I know they gave backstory to why it's cursed, but I completely missed it.
I did too, because Avery's gold!
I just made the jump to, yeah, sure, pirate treasure's cursed. I've gained the necessary information. I'm good.
Yeah, then he kills Longfoot. No one loves Ben.
Nope.
No one. Not even in the serial.
Someone comes and tells the innkeeper that Longfoot's been murdered. The innkeeper, his name's Cooper, I believe. He thinks that Team TARDIS did the stabbing.
They're like, no one would kill him, except for the strangers who were just there.
Like, this is a good plot, I guess. Like, the Team TARDIS is incorrectly accused of murder. But then it's almost completely killed, almost, by the fact that Cherub comes in and is like, yeah, I killed him. He confronts the doctor because he wants to know what the riddle was, I guess, or where the gold is. He kidnaps the doctor and he's going to take him to Pike. We get the squire arrives to, I guess, arrest.
He was coming anyway.
On his horse.
Because of things we'll find out.
Right.
Because of reasons.
They put Ben and Polly, like, in jail. They're like, no, these guys just kidnapped the doctor. Obviously, they're the troublemakers. They're like, why should we believe you? You're framed for murder right now. So they're like, no, we're not going to do anything with you right now. The squire's already on his way, so just chill out here in this jail cell and he'll take care of you.
Ben keeps getting told to hold his tongue.
I mean, rightly so.
Wow. Everyone's like, you can't talk like that. And Ben's like,
like what? Really loudly. But the doctor gets taken onto the pirate ship. Then we get that line you said of he meets the captain and he does that. Or my name's not Samuel Pike. And he slams his pike hand down.
That's your name, I guess.
What he wants to know where
to go. That's the end of what episode?
That's the end of Let's Get a Smuggling. And we are now on to episode 2, Pike's Place, which is a Starbucks reference, which I know now because I briefly worked at a Barnes & Noble cafe and know way too much about coffee now. Alternate title was Let's Go a Piking. Anyway. This feature's gonna die soon.
These episodes have had no titles for almost 50 years.
Maybe it should stay that way.
It was fine. That was just fine.
My next note says, Longfoot was a pimple. What?
Well, he was a pirate.
He was a pirate.
Pirates. Those letters squished together looks like pimple. And then we have a scene that has sexism, racism, and violence. All in one scene. Yum.
The 60s.
Yeah. Because, like...
Oh, the 60s.
I don't remember what the exact references were, but there was, like, saying, like, some famous pirate looks like a woman next to him. Which is, like, eh. And I forget what the racism was.
I'm glad you said racism, though, because the whole time, every scene with Jamaica made me uncomfortable. And there was nothing, like, super overt about it. I don't know. It was just all there. And the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, how racist was this? Am I just oversensitive because we've had, like, a serious racism issue recently?
Oh, yeah, with the Celestial Toymaker, yeah. I gotta say, at first I was like, whoa, an actual person of color is on this show.
I was too.
And he has lines? And then he's like, Jamaica! And I was like, oh, really?
No. When I did the research on Henry Avery, I'm now even more sure that's racist, because it was never mentioned that Jamaica was a slave, but now I am like 99.5% sure that he was a slave, because that was how they made a lot of their money, was slavery.
Boo. So close. But still, I'm going to be like, yay, there's at least a...
At least they found a person of color? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually an actor of color. They didn't do blackface this time.
Standards are so low.
I know.
Thanks for not being as bad as you.
Horribly offensive.
Oh, at least you didn't just straight up say the N-word this time. Good job.
Progress.
Doctor Who, a progressive show. Let's jump for a second to another thing that bugs me. Ben and Polly in the jail. Polly screams at a rat. Why?
Rats are scary. What are you asking why?
Because it's such a trope cliche.
Okay, but doesn't Ben also scream rather loudly?
I don't think so. I think he's like, oh, he judged a rat.
No, he like laughs at her.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was screaming. I thought he was like, ah.
No, he's like, oh, you're a woman afraid of rats.
Duchess.
That shit probably has got all kinds of germs. It's probably carrying all kinds of plague shit. She's right to be frightened.
I think it was 17th century Cornwall, so yes, it probably was.
You'd just be like, ha, it's fine. It's just a rat. It's just carrying plague death.
Also, it doesn't really do anything in the scene, because they're just like, oh, well, anyway, let's come up with a plan, which we'll get to. But let's go back to the... I just want to mention that stupid rat thing.
Well, that's kind of how the episode goes, is it jumps around a lot.
It's just like, hey, let's do this cliche for a second. Okay, good. What are we doing? Let's do this cliche now, I guess.
Yeah, like, it stops in the middle of a conversation to go back to the other half of the team. Like, hey, look what's happening with them.
A scene where nothing's happening. Where it's just like, oh, hey, so this is going to be our plan? Should we, when we do it, this is gonna, it's gonna go like this, yeah? Okay, well let's go cut back to the other guy where people are getting stabbed or something.
Back on the ship, the doctor proceeds to kiss so much ass. This scene to me, not, Tony didn't catch it, but I felt like this scene had a lot of homoerotic subtext.
I feel like you find homoerotic subtext everywhere.
I mean, I do, but there was a moment, like, right before that, they were talking about Pike, and I can't remember the line anymore because, again, there's no lines that stand out, but there was a very specific thing about him being different than other pirates and how he looks better and acts different and the way he dresses specifically, and I was like, what are they implying here?
Like, he's saying all these nice things about Pike, the doctor is, and then Pike says something about, oh, don't talk sweet to me.
Yeah, yeah, it was the same scene.
Or something like that.
He calls him a sweet talker.
And then he proceeds to wine and dine the doctor.
This is an interesting thing, actually, because everyone in this town and on this pirate ship automatically assumes the doctor is a gentleman. Like, that he is high class, that he's got money, and that he's titled, just because of the way he dresses, which in any other episode, everyone's just like, either, okay, he dresses kind of odd, but all right, or why is he dressed like this? And now they're like, yes, that is a well-dressed man.
I think.
And then Pike says something about liking gentlemen.
Yes, see?
It's not in my head. It's there.
All right.
That subtext is nearly text.
For the 60s, it is text.
Then the doctor's like, I'll help you find the gold if you give me a share. Oh, that's also when we meet Jamaica, but I don't remember what happens there.
I think he's just introduced at that point, and then we cut away, and then later we get more racism.
So in the prison, Polly is in a trance.
Yeah, she's like, hey, wait, everyone in the 17th century was very superstitious.
You were going to say super superstitious?
Yes, I was. And I got caught somewhere in the middle and I couldn't get it out.
Super superstitious.
So they were very superstitious. She's like, I know what to do. And for like a quick second there, I was like, wait, is she going to do a Mark Twain thing here? Is she going to like predict an eclipse or something? Like, because most people don't know when eclipses happened in the 17th century. that didn't make sense in the novel. It's not going to make sense here. But instead, she's like, no, everyone's very superstitious. I'm going to be a witch.
That sounds like a plan I would come up with, to be honest. Like, I'm just going to lie my ass off and see how that goes.
I mean, it works.
I'll just tell them I am super powerful. They should be afraid of me.
They make like a little voodoo doll and stuff. And I don't know what out of.
It was out of the straw because she's like, wait, I need that straw. Ben, go get it for me because the rat's over there.
And then they tell their jailer, the doctor is a warlock and they are his apprentices. He has to let him go. And also if he gets the voodoo doll, then the doctor will know he's done well. I don't know. It's the whole...
The spell will only work if they're in jail, but it won't work if they're out of jail.
Right. And then they get out with that really shitty story. They decide to go to the church because... what the fuck else is there to do? They can't go back to the inn because that's where they got arrested.
They want
to
find clues to prove their innocence.
And also maybe find the doctor.
And then the innkeeper and the squire, correct, show up on the ship?
The squire? No, the squire's later.
No.
Squire. Okay, so it's just Cooper. And they get into the business of smuggling.
I'm so confused at why he does anything.
Cooper?
Yes!
I'm pretty sure he thought it was the smugglers. Like, there's an actual group of smugglers that have been trading with Longfoot, and everyone's been waiting for them to show up. So, like, they're due any day now. They're like, hey, there's a ship out there. That's probably the smugglers. And he hasn't dealt with them because Longfoot's always dealt with them. So he goes out there to, like, you know, come up with a deal. This is where Pike finds out about the smuggling, and he's like, they're smuggling, so there must be money involved. So I'm going to get in on that and take everything. So he pretends to be the smugglers, even though he's not. I'm pretty sure that's what happens.
But also he doesn't want to make a deal with Cooper. I think he like imprisons Cooper, right? Something?
He takes Cooper in as his guest, because later it's the doctor and Cooper are both sort of imprisoned.
I think he just wants to be like, you're here to like and figure out, like to like and verify truthfulness of your what's going down.
Validity of your statements. And then he gives Jamaica cat of nine tails to... make sure they stay. So they're prisoners.
They're prisoners who get wine and food and playing cards.
Which the doctor uses as tarot cards? The three of diamonds means something good.
See, this is the racist thing to me. He's like, okay, we're being guarded by Jamaica. And it's never overtly said, but it's very strongly implied that black people are afraid of magic.
To be fair, so was the jailer.
Everyone's afraid of magic.
Yeah.
But it was like he came up with his plan specifically because of that. So he starts pretending to read tarot cards, even though they're playing cards, and convinces Jamaica that he can tell his fortune.
Which is kind of weird that independently, Ben and Polly and the doctor came up with the same plan.
Except the doctor's plan doesn't go off so well, and he results to 52 card pickup. And then smacking him over the head.
I feel like that was the plan the whole time, honestly. It was like, let's get him interested just enough to get close and not pay attention to you.
That's actually in the next episode. We're jumping way ahead.
I don't know where the episodes end.
So that's the next interesting thing that happens.
Well, there's other stuff. Ben and Polly go to the church and are Scooby-Dooing around.
Oh, they're Scooby-Dooing around, and then they find a secret passageway, like you do when you're Scooby-Doo.
Which there was a secret passageway in the Time Meddler as well. It's a whole thing.
They find the secret passageway because someone comes out of it.
That was Josiah Blake.
Yes, the reserve... Wait, the what? I can't read my...
No, what was his title?
The something officer.
Money guy.
Revenue officer.
Revenue officer. Revenue officer is almost exactly like money guy.
So he's like an IRS agent investigating stuff.
Yeah, he's found
this... But
with
horses and a gun.
He's found this smuggling route, basically. It's this cave, which conveniently leads...
to the beach and the TARDIS.
Then
Ben and Polly don't believe that.
So they tie him up.
They're like, you're obviously the murderer.
And we're going to get this squire and then prove our innocence.
Yeah, we're just going to be like, look, this guy's here. He probably did
Which
it.
Is the exact same case raised against them. Was, you were at that place, and now they see him and like, you're here, you're the murderer.
The squire is shows up on the ship. He's there to buy smuggled goods? He's there to do something.
He's
some
part of the
shit.
Deal. I guess he's the one verifying. That's what it is that he's like, hey... the squire's the one who's, like, smuggling shit. And he's like, you might just be setting me up to, like, get me arrested.
He's, like, the bank behind the deal. He's the one that's been able to buy all this stuff that they've been smuggling.
Right. And right. So the squire shows up and he's like, yeah, I'm definitely smuggling shit. You got my shit?
And then Polly comes in and interrupts. And then they grab Polly because they don't believe her. And then, but they go back to the castle.
Yeah, that wasn't on the ship. That was... That, like, the jail.
Okay.
They go back to the castle to, like, be like, hey, we found a guy who's probably a murderer. And they're like, what are you doing not in jail? Like, we really didn't think that through.
But, yeah, then they all go back to the castle. Ben comes out of the cave and is like, hey, that leads straight to the TARDIS. And then the squire comes in with, like, Polly and everything and then pulls a gun on Ben. And that is the end of episode 2, Pike's Place, a.k.a. Let's Go Piking. And we are now into episode 3. Squealing squires. No.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
like tires?
No. Yeah.
Squealing tires.
No, we get it.
Squealing yeah. squires.
Yeah. That's not the problem with it.
Okay. My note. First note says, Blake wants to be a tree. No, Blake wants to be free. Blake.
Yes, he's tied up and he'd rather not be tied up.
You need to work on your penmanship.
It's I atrocious. Do.
But the squire's like, hey, Blake, you are in my company. Arrest Ben and Polly. Again, please.
And Blake's kind of like, you're not the boss of me.
No, he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
No, at first he says.
First, but yeah.
But eventually he does it.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm under orders from the king. The king outranks you. That's not why I'm here.
I got shit to do.
It's like, you handle your own messes. I'm here for smugglers.
Right. But eventually he's like, all right, I'll do it.
Yes.
And he arrests them.
And then goes off.
And
then we have the 52-car pickup scene.
Yes. And then he, like, walks down, like a little bit out of earshot. And he's like, all right, guys, it's fine. You're not really arrested.
After the 52-car pickup, and before Blake releases Ben and Polly, we get the secret sarcophagus with the smuggle. We see the sarcophagus filled with smuggled goods.
Smuggled goods.
And Cherub oversees this because he's always sneaking around looking at shit.
Yeah, that dude's sneaky.
He knows all the good bushes. But yeah, then Blake releases Ben and Polly, and the doctor joins them.
They're like, how do we even know the doctor is alive? And he, like, is 2 feet away and shows him. He's like, how do you know I'm not?
He's like, I was just waiting for an entrance line.
He was standing by the door like, okay, I can't do anything with that. That? No, well, okay, yes, yes. That's a line to walk in on.
And then Cupid and Blake have a disagreement. I don't remember what. And then he proceeds to, like, shoot him or something, shoot at him. I don't know. There was, like, a whole thing. I didn't give a shit. This is like episode 3 and I'm starting to drift. But then Pike's mad at Jamaica for falling for the 52-car pickup trick.
That's who gets stabbed.
Jamaica, he gets stabbed with the pike.
Gets deaded.
And that's some of the existing footage.
Nearly every death.
Yeah, there's also a couple of weird things where it's just like someone turning their head exists. So we go from a still and then they turn and it's like existing footage and then it's another still and there's... At that point, I'm like, why did you even put in that existing footage? Like, nothing happens.
I didn't need to see that 3 seconds of someone blinking. And that didn't really add anything to my experience of this.
Yeah, there's also the same thing with the squire. Like, he's just on a horse for, like, 2 seconds, and that's it.
I did actually get excited, because I was like, a horse! But I like horses.
And there was this whole thing when Pike's talking to Jamaica about... Oh, they'll expect an attack by night, but so we're going to attack during the day.
Yeah, it's weird because they're like, oh, they're expecting us at 2 a.m., so let's just come at 1 a.m. They're like, no, that's still nighttime.
We're going to go in at noon.
See, we're doing interesting things in this serial. We're not doing all cliches.
I feel like it was like they had planned for this attack at night because that's normally when these kind of smuggling things would happen. But it would be too hard to film at night, so let's find a reason to move it to daytime.
It's not a limitation, it's a plan. It's on purpose. But Blake is going to go get an army
to fight
the pirates. He leaves, and then just we randomly get to see him, like, just on his Will steals of him on his horse.
Of course.
Like, he just randomly cuts to him, and he's like, I'm still riding! And then, like, now I'm riding, but I have an army! But I'm still riding! There was one time he fell off his horse, and I thought that was hilarious.
He did?
Yeah, his horse leaves without him.
I missed it.
I was like, damn it, Blake, stay on your horse.
Because it was like when there was a big standoff, and they really needed him to show up, and you expect him to be there any second, and he falls off his horse.
Oh, I didn't see it!
Well, you wouldn't have. It was a still frame. It was just a little scrolling text along the bottom of the screen.
Oh, well, I can't read that. I really gotta go get my glasses. I've gotta stop putting it off.
I did that today.
Joe, when we watch reconstructions, Joe has to read the text for me. Because if it was standing still, I could read it, but it's too blurry when it moves. Like, the motion blur combined with my own terrible eyesight means that I can't read it. I really need to go get glasses.
The doctor and Ben and Polly are all hooked back up, and Blake's going off to get the army. So, like, end of episode. End of the serial. But no, it's not. Ben and Polly's like, let's just get in the TARDIS and get out of here.
Yeah, literally, they're like, hey.
There's nothing we can do.
Right, there's no stakes for us here.
But the doctor's like, I must save the village! I have morals!
Yeah, he grew a conscience.
He grew a conscience. Sticking around has nothing to do with saving the village. He was somebody else's conscience last serial.
Really?
Yeah, he's had no interactions with the villagers. So what does he give a shit?
He hasn't really put the village in danger, and he hasn't really going to save it.
Yeah, like, it's literally in as much danger as it was before. It's just the only difference is Longfoot's gone.
You're just like, ah, we have a fourth episode to do.
He's growing a god complex is what it is. And it keeps growing until we literally have an episode called The God Complex.
But, like, his plan to save the village is basically, like, I'm gonna give this guy what he wants.
His plan is, I'm going to stall for as much time as possible.
Till the army gets there, I guess? So, but pretty much what happens from here on is everyone wants the fucking gold. That's the... It's just, I want the gold, I want the gold, let's get the gold. You want the gold, I want the gold. But gold. We can't.
And the solving of the riddle.
Yes. So, they're, like, looking around, like, what could this riddle mean? And then Ben and Polly are like, I don't know. But let's read tombstones. That sounds like fun.
This is fun. They're having way too much fun. They're like, let's try and find the oldest one.
It's really cute, though, because at the beginning, Polly is just so excited. And Ben's like, God, he's like, no, there are people coming to kill us. Can you not? She's like, no, let's see which one's the oldest. He goes, yeah, all right, this is kind of fun.
And then he's like, this one's from, like, 1657. That's hella old. And she's like, you dumbass, we're in the past.
That's not old at all.
He's like, oh.
Oh, I forgot. Oh.
I'm dumb. No one likes me.
But this scene is there so that they can read off these names from tombstones that are going to be super important later. Not even that much later.
The doctor's like, oh, it's the names. And let's go into the crypt.
The names are how you solve the riddle.
Yeah. So these names must be in the crypt.
Which makes me angry because part of the riddle is double. It's dead man's secrets.
There's a line with the doctor. He's like, yes, small beer, Ringwood, and Gurney. It's great to have three names, but what if we had four names? And I'm like, you don't know that part of the riddle yet.
And also, like, you can triangulate something with three. That's why it's called triangulate. So you only need three tombstones to find the middle thing and dig in the middle. Why do you need a fourth one?
It's just really poor writing.
The doctor and Ben and Polly are all in the basement of the church, the crypt, looking at these names. And everybody's showing up.
Having a fun time, like you do in the graveyard.
Because Cooper told the squire about the gold, so they're both there. Cooper's like, we should kill him. And the squire's like, I don't want to kill people. And then...
You know, I just want to steal shit. Smuggle.
Smuggle. But then they still go to confront the doctor. And then Cherub shows up and kills Cooper for, like, no reason. I mean...
It's fun.
He just wants to kill people.
The thing about Cherub is, like, Pike made multiple comments about how Cherub is such a sweet talker and how he can get anything out of anybody. But really, he asks, like, a question, and if he doesn't get the answer he wants immediately, he just kills people.
That's not an effective way of getting information!
And quite frequently by throwing a knife into their back.
Just whoosh.
But that's the end of episode 3, Squealing Squires. And we're now into episode 4, Future Slickers 2, The Legend of Avery's Gold. Just crickets, huh?
Why are you this way, Joe?
See, it's a play on the film City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's Gold. But considering the status of what I feel about this serial, it should have been called Shitty Slickers 2, the Legend of...
How did you make it Avery's worse? Gold.
I'm not Chris Cherry, okay? He comes up with great episode titles. I just flounder.
You just come up with shitty puns.
Well, I don't see you guys coming up with better titles.
It's more fun to listen to the terrible titles you give.
Fair enough. Cooper's been stabbed. Cherub shoots at the squire, wings him, doesn't kill him. Which, if you have a gun, why are you throwing knives? I save bullets, I guess. But guess what? Cherub wants the gold. That's when Blake falls off a horse. Like, my notes are just very, like, everything starts to happen really quickly here, but, like...
Yeah, everything happens in this episode. Like, everything just falls apart, and I have the least comprehension of this episode because I was, like, falling asleep because I was so tired.
Which, by the way, we mentioned that I took a nap. It was in between the third and fourth episode.
So you're good for this episode. You
yeah, I was on. A little bit more alert because I was a little bit more well-rested.
So Tony will now tell you everything that happened.
Oh, I don't know. It was a mess. I mean, literally, like, at some point, like, the army...
Well,
that's a little bit of me.
That's, yeah. So, we know that.
It's the most interesting thing that happens. I just want to skip to the big part.
So the doctor mentions the riddle to Cherub. Cherub's got, like, everybody at gunpoint and knife point. He's, like, got a knife to Polly's throat. And the doctor mentions the riddle, and Cherub fills in that the fourth person is Deadman.
Which he tells everybody.
Yes.
But that also, that doesn't make any sense. It can't be a clue that it's gravestones and a name.
No, it's just very clever.
It can't.
The whole thing is that Longfoot changed some of the names on the graves, so that it was like clues.
Those were all people who really exist, but who died at sea.
Yeah, those were his former, like...
pirate buddies.
They were on the same ship as him. I want to say crewman, but that makes him sound like the captain, and he's not. But basically, it's like, anyone that knows Avery knows that I served with these same people and will recognize the names. Which did happen, because Cherub, as he's reading, he's like, oh yeah, all four names. And Doctor's like, what do you mean four names? Which bothered me because, again, he let slip in the previous episode that there were four names.
And also, like, it just happens to be convenient that one of the four dead men's name is literally Dead Man. Again, clever names in this serial.
There's also a pirate named Gaptooth who we haven't mentioned.
So I think he's, like, showing up, like, right now. Because, like, Pike and Gaptooth are at the sarcophagus and they're opening it up. And they're like, he's like, he tells Gaptooth, take this shit, put it on our ship.
They're going to take all the smuggling shit, but part of the shit that's in there is booze. And so the pirates are like, hey, we're going to drink on the job.
It works out fantastically.
So then the Pike goes into the crypt, finds Cherub, and then they're like, hey, I don't like you. And he's like, I don't like you. And they get in a fight.
That's actually pretty close to how it's written in the script. It's exactly that depth.
Because he's like, oh, you're going to steal the gold from me. I'm going to kill you before you have a chance to. And then they just get into this long fight. This fight that's so long that they cut away to boring scenes.
They literally cut back to the pirates drinking. And, like, one of the other pirates going, hey, can you get back to work, please? And they're like, nah. But then they do. Like, that's the scene, and then they
then
come
it cuts
back
to the
fight.
And then, like, Ben and Polly are like, this is taking forever. We're just going to go down the passage. This is boring.
Yeah.
And then they go, and they're still fighting.
Even the companions are trying to get out of the serial because it's so boring.
And
I don't understand why we're still here. I'm just going back on the TARDIS until this is over.
It's boring, but then Tony and I suddenly perk up and go, woo! Because in the description woo! Pike and Cherub are fighting, and then the text says, backs him up into a stone angel. And Tony and I both went,
oh no!
Oh no!
It's just a stone angel.
But isn't it if it's the image, then...
Spoilers for many, many seasons from now.
Oh, we'll get to that one. Pike's pirates are like, on the beach, and they find the cave.
They also find the TARDIS.
Yeah, but they're like, no,
they just kind of look at it and they're like, that's weird. Oh, well, it's not what we want.
And Pike kills Cherub.
Yep.
And I don't think that one existed. Did that one exist?
No, it did not exist.
I don't know.
So it must not have been.
There was one of them that didn't exist and one of them that did. But then the doctor tells Pike, I'm going to tell you where the gold is in exchange for the villagers, for the village's safety. And then when he finds the gold, which is, you know, at the center of these four dead people, he's like, I've got the gold, says Pike. Boom, army arrives. Oh, and then we got, before that happens, we get a stupid, like, the pirates chase Polly scene. Where, and then Ben knocks out the pirate, because Ben's the heroic, manly man. Boring shit. But yeah, and then Spaniard, who we've not mentioned at all, because who gives a shit? Spaniard, like, comes in, and he's going to, like, kill them. But then Blake shows up and kills Spaniard. So it's everybody saving everybody.
Lots of people get dead, though.
They do.
Like, it just seems like there's a lot of deadness happening.
I got a note that just says, B shoots P, but I don't know what that means.
Blake shoots Blake. Pike?
Blake shoots Pike. I was like, Ben shoots Polly? What the fuck? I don't remember this. Oh, no. Blake shoots Pike. And everybody's happy? I don't know. What happens here at the end? We're at the end.
It's just over, and then I fell asleep.
Here, I can read you the last sentence from the Wikipedia. Okay, so aided by the injured squire, who repents of his sins, Blake kills Pike and the pirate force is routed. As the battle dies down, the doctor and his companions slip away to the TARDIS, and the doctor says, superstition is a strange thing, but sometimes it tells the truth.
Oh, so that, yeah, that's a theme I didn't even, yeah, there's a big theme of superstition this yeah. serial. Huh. With the magic, the tarot cards, the warlocks and the wizards and the curse. Huh.
Wait, why what didn't way add up did it anything. Tell the truth?
I have no idea.
That it was cursed? Oh,
the money, yeah, the gold's cursed. Everyone who was after the gold got deaded. They did.
They all got deaded.
So they finally get in the TARDIS, and Tony and I are like, thank God.
Like, literally, we both said it out loud.
And then they get really cold. The end! The end of Future Slickers 2, The Legend of Avery's Gold, starring Billy Crystal
it's
as the Doctor.
It's a bummer, too, because this is, like, the penultimate one.
First Doctor serial, yeah.
It's also the beginning of a season.
Yeah.
Right! This was a season opener!
Like, I wasn't a big fan of the War Machines that much. I thought it was kind of boring. But it was infinitely better than this.
Right.
Is it time?
Yeah, it's time.
It's time for
Final Thoughts!
Since you are the guest, Jez... What are your final thoughts?
I mean, it wasn't a great episode. I feel like I liked it slightly more than you guys did, because I didn't, like, completely hate it. But I think that's just because, one, I was way too tired to be watching this. And two, I have watched a lot of stuff set in the 17th century with, like, pirates and the Navy and everything. So I've got that going for me. But again, it's just bad writing in a lot of things. They reveal things before they are actually happening. The dialogue, nothing stands out except for the weird reference to Pike's name, which actually holds no significance whatsoever. And it was really weird that they chose Captain Avery, because he does retire with his fortune, but at some point he loses it and dies a beggar. But none of that's explained in this episode, so it's got a weird historical link there. I have a note here, like, who is fact-checking anything in this episode? There had to be somebody whose job it was to fact-check things. It feels like they just did a Wikipedia search, except Wikipedia did not exist in the 1960s. So, I don't know what's happening.
I don't honestly believe that it was anyone's job to fact-check anything. That doesn't sound like a thing that actually happened.
It probably wasn't. It was probably a bunch of guys sitting around a table and be like, yeah, I kind of remember a story about this guy, Henry Avery, and let's just pretend he had a fortune left over and let's have them fight over that. That's what this felt like.
You said you probably enjoyed it more than us, but you've not... What did you like about this serial?
I mean, I just don't feel like it was, like, the worst episode. It wasn't that I especially liked anything. It's just that I didn't hate it to the same degree.
Nothing was good, but...
I didn't hate it.
I mean, I like Polly. I don't know how long she's going to stick around. I feel like this is the point where we just start trading out companions, like, constantly.
I kind of hope Polly sticks around longer than Ben.
Yeah, me too. I know I mentioned this really early on, but the scene where Ben is shirtless, why was that in the episode to begin with?
Why did anything in this episode happen?
Like, was it just because they could get away with it? But it bothers me because, one, it's existing footage, and two, it is the picture for the Wikipedia article.
That's amazing.
Somebody likes Ben.
Not us.
I always feel bad when there's something we don't like, because I know there's someone out there who just loves it and is like, not my character. You people are mean. And I'm sorry, but it's not going to change my mind. I still hate him.
All right, Tony, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, this is a mess. It's a mess of a serial. It just seems very, I don't, thrown together, uninspired. It really feels like it was put together at the last minute, which is why you would open a season on something like that. I don't know. I'm kind of bummed by it.
Yeah.
I'm excited about getting the two, though.
This is probably my least favorite serial we've watched so far, and that's including The Web Planet.
Including The Web Planet.
The Web Planet at least had... it had Ian Optera. There was interesting things there.
Were poorly executed good ideas.
Yeah, there you go. But at least, yeah, they were trying something. This is just a collection of stuff they've done before. Uninspired story. They're not even really doing anything. Everybody dies at the end. And, like, not in a fun way. This is, like, our first real serial with Ben and Polly as companions. I mean, they were in the last serial, but this is, like, their first one after having boarded the TARDIS. Polly, I don't have much of an opinion on Polly yet because, I don't know, she doesn't, like, actively annoy me or anything. Ben, on the other hand, is awful, and I hate him, and I miss Steven so much. He is definitely my least favorite companion we've had. I've seen some more of him. I still don't like him. I didn't like Katarina, but that was mostly because she was underutilized. They did not do anything with her character. And also, she at least had the decency to die quickly.
Oh!
Damn, Joe!
I don't like Ben. I don't.
Well, don't take it out on Katarina. She was precious.
I'm just saying, she wasn't a great companion and she was gone quickly.
Shit that was going on, but she was Ben's still really around. Smart. She doesn't deserve this hate that's coming from you right now.
That hate is not directed at Katarina. It is directed solely at Ben. Anyway, that's my final thoughts on the matter. Jess, you had an additional?
I did. I wanted to say, one of the reasons I'm on this episode is because it's one of the few pure historicals, and we don't have very many left. Like, after this, I believe we have two more, and then there are no pure historicals until the 12th Doctor, which is messed up.
I feel like this is something that we've argued about with other guests, that I miss true historicals, and they're like, it was better when we started putting aliens in it. And I can't remember who it was.
It was Ray.
And I was like, I would love for us to go back to having straight historicals.
There's a pure historical with 12?
It's not... like a full episode, I guess. Because once you get to 11, we start getting these weird, like, shorts. And it's one of the shorts. And it's all set in, like, with Vikings and stuff. And I really liked it. I would love to have more pure historicals. We don't need to have, you know, jumping from time to time in every serial. We don't need to have aliens in every serial. Give me something with history that actually connects to things I know.
Right, like, why bother being time travel if it's always going to be aliens?
Like, just travel in space. Don't travel in time and space.
It's ancient Greece, but also aliens!
I would like there to be more pure historicals, but they got rid of the historicals because they did not do well. And I feel like the issue is not with the audience here. I don't think the audience hated the historicals. I just feel like the historicals were written as badly as this one. And that's why they didn't go over.
Because we had The Mythmakers, and that was amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
That was an excellent serial.
Marco Polo was really good.
Mm.
And those were good because you were able to draw on your own knowledge and, like, expect things. And there was little in-jokes for people who knew that history. I want more of that.
And there's good characters.
You know, something that I don't like is just pulling people from history and using that as a way to not have to establish a character. I talk about dinosaurs on space.
I don't feel like that happened in The Mythmakers, though. Or Marco Polo.
No,
I'm talking about New Who, where it's kind of like, hey, we're going to grab this historical figure and this historical figure and just throw them on this adventure because everyone knows who they are.
And too bad for you if you don't.
And it's like, that's just sort of a lazy way to get another character in there without having to do anything. Maybe I'm being too harsh.
But I think it sometimes works. Like, I think it's sometimes, like, interesting. Like, I thought it was really interesting when, like, they had Nixon. Like, Nixon's kind of Team TARDIS, and it's like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of uncomfortable about it. I was really hoping that was going to be something, maybe something similar was going to happen with Hitler. Because that would have been more interesting than what actually happened in the episode, which was a mess.
Nothing
a
good
mess.
Happened in that episode. Oh, that was a mess of an episode.
Could you imagine like what they would have to do with Hitler as the...
I have a question.
What?
If you had to rewatch, if you had a choice between rewatching this episode or Let's Kill Hitler.
Oh, Let's Kill Hitler. At least Let's Kill Hitler at least has some fun moments or good moments.
Also, it exists.
It exists. It has Rory, so I'm in.
It has that great scene where the
Rory
guilt
breaks the. Oh,
I was gonna say no. The where he's on, where the doctor's on the ship is on the TARDIS dying. And,
like,
he calls
and the,
up the
like
previous
the hologram
companions.
Interface.
Yeah,
and it shows
that's
the
really
old companions.
Because no, even if the episode's shitty, like Matt Smith is not.
Ugh, I love him so much.
He's up there as my favorite doctor.
Me too.
I have a hard time choosing favorite doctor overall. So my go around is, I don't know my favorite doctor, but I know that Matt Smith is my favorite actor to play the doctor.
That's true, though.
So we've done our final thoughts. There's one feature I've been starting up and I'd like to do. Jazz, you are our guest, so you get the honors of doing this one. How would you do this serial, The Smugglers, as a Modern Who episode?
I mean, I would definitely make the connection to Avery because he's already in New Who. I don't know, better dialogue. Like I said, I do want to keep it a pure historical, so I don't want to introduce anything, any other time periods. I don't want to introduce any aliens. I'm trying to think which doctor I would want to give this to. Because I will watch anything with Matt Smith, but he's already done the whole excited about pirates thing. I would like to see what 12 would have to say about smugglers. I guess that's what I would like. I would like him to go in there and play for time and just, instead of telling everyone you know the secret that you've been given, I want him to just come up with all kinds of lies to vie for time.
Like making up riddles?
Yes. Or pretend that he's part of the smuggling ring, or even just feign ignorance. Like, anything is better than giving away the only secret keeping you alive.
That's Jez's The Smugglers. thanks for listening. Anything you want to say before we go, Jez?
Stick around for the next episode, I guess.
Please do.
It'll be better than The Smugglers. I hope. I haven't watched it yet. I may be making empty promises here.
Ben Padden really likes it. Yeah, he's going to be on that episode. And I'm hoping it's a good send-off.
I'm sad to see one leave us.
I'm not going to be ready. Like, I'm excited about two. I'm excited about us, like, entering a new era as a podcast. Like, we'll have finally made it to the second Doctor.
Right.
And I felt like we're really going to do this forever.
We literally are.
I don't know. It'll be weird, like, the, you know, the very next episode and being like, oh, one's gone. He's gone.
I think we're going to take a break before we jump into two and watch An Adventure in Time and Space, just as a sort of bridge between the first and second Doctor. God, I know. I already know I'm going to cry so much when I watch that movie. Thanks for listening. If you like us, feel free to check out our website at watchyourasslon.com. If you'd like to help us out, you can go to watchyourasslon.com/support. And our Patreon's on there where you can get cool rewards. Or you can sponsor an episode and we'll shout your name out and put you on our website for that.
To sponsor an episode, all it costs is the price of
a DVD.
So if you would like to buy us a DVD and then you become the sponsor for that whole
serial episode. Because Hulu has taken off all of the Classic Who.
Actually, most of the Classic Who are on compilation DVDs, so you'll get like four serials on a DVD.
See? You can sponsor multiple episodes.
That's like four episodes for like what?
Yeah, they're all various different prices. But there's an Amazon wish list and you can just click. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next time with The Tenth Planet, the last first Doctor episode with special guest Ben Padden. And I want to say thank you again to Jez. Am I supposed to say just Jez or can I say the last name? I'm very confused. I didn't know what
Jez.
I was supposed to do.
Just Jez. She's been very clear about this fact.
Okay, do I need to change it on the website? Because it says...
Yeah, I don't care.
Well, thanks for being on, Just Jess. I'm sorry it wasn't great. This podcast, however, has been a delight.
Yes. Thank you for having me on.
And thanks for being on.
All right.
See you next time. Keep it wrestle awesome.
Quit trying to make it a thing.
No, I'm not trying. It's a thing.
It's not a thing.
It's a thing with exactly two people. Me and Joe.
Polly. Take care, love.